Good morning, brother and sister. Welcome to Bantay Baptist Church Sunday service. We are again back to full online service and worship again. I hope we can learn from this experience that it is such a privilege that we can come together to worship God physically and corporately. It is always my joy to see all of you on Sunday, to talk to you face to face, pray with you, see you greeting one another with a handshake, hug, or a fist bump. It is a beautiful picture of God's family coming together to worship and praise and fellowship with one another in the love of Christ. And I ask all of you to join your heart together and pray that very soon we will be able to resume our Sunday physical worship. Also, I would encourage all of us to pray for an open and humble heart to listen and encourage God's truth. And with expectation to have the Holy Spirit touch your heart and transform our life and grant us miracles and wonders. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to receive your word today, you would honor your word of truth and let everyone who hear it to experience the power of the Holy Spirit that transforms life, that bring wonders and miracles. Give us the faith to believe the truth of your promises. Help us to believe the truth that already happened and the one that is going to happen. Open up our spiritual eyes and our spiritual ears, so that we know your will and your plan for us. Give us faith to believe and overcome our unbelief. In Jesus' name, we ask for it. A quick introduction. The book of Joel was grouped together among the books of final prophets. This doesn't mean that Joel is less important prophet. Actually, major prophet and minor prophet grouping decisions are by the number of chapters of the book, not how important of the prophet. The main theme of Joel prophecy is the day of the Lord which is coming. Joel did not condemn the people nor the nation at that time. His prophecy was to tell people the day of the Lord is coming. People of God must be watchful and should always be ready for that day to come. The topic of today's sermon is the promises of God. It will be taken from the text of Joel chapter 2. According to the text in Joel chapter 2, we can divide them into three different learning points. It shall come to pass, the day of the Lord is coming. Return to the Lord in repentance. All 3 points are promises of God, which he will fulfill according to his word. Many of us would think that the promises of God referring to those who bring us blessing and prosperity. However, let us not to forget the curses and consequences also part of the promises of God. The Bible didn't tell us much about this author Joel, other than he was the son of Cethuel. Conservative scholars have more or less agreed that Joel's ministry was carried sometime between 900 BC to 400 BC. So, the book was written before Jesus was born. For us today, the book was written more than 2,500 years ago. The book of Joel is entirely concerned with prediction. The major part of Joel's foretelling of the Word of God is actually foretelling is prophecy of God to warn God people of God. Bible is full of prediction about the future, many of which have already come true, but some of which yet to be. For us, many of the prophecy we are reading today is history to us. It already come to pass. There are still a few is yet to be. Maybe one day, many generations after us, what is yet to be for us now will also going to be history for our great-great-grandchildren. The word of God is expressed in such form because God takes the line that unless you know the past and the future, we will never be able to relate the present directly with Him. However, it is very important for us to know that if the prophet is a true prophet, the prophecy must come to pass. If it doesn't, the prophet is a false prophet. There are a few things Prophet Joel predicted in his writing. Two-thirds of them already came to pass. Therefore, we can safely say that we can look at his prediction that are yet to come with confidence, since two-thirds of them have already been fulfilled. Let us examine the most obvious prophecy that had already come to pass and continually being fulfilled in God's children. In the time of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, Apostle Peter told the crowd that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. In the whole book of Acts, which we just completed 3 Sundays ago, we also see how God brought out His Holy Spirit to all the people who believe in the name of Jesus Christ, and how the power of the Holy Spirit being manifested to all of them. And the promise continued to be fulfilled by God from the day of Pentecost to all of the believers even then. Therefore, brother and sister, we are the people of God to whom God promised to pour out His Holy Spirit. We shall have the capacity to share and speak for the mighty words of God, to be His witness, to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit, to love one another. However, is our life carry such work and such joy? May I just share my own personal testimony so that it might open up your heart to everything that Holy Spirit may have for you. For many years, after I became a Christian, I didn't find myself live like the saint in the book of Acts. I was not a bad Christian, I thought. I go to church, I fellowship with other Christians, but I didn't find myself with the deep sense of appreciation and love for Jesus. Later, I discovered that my Trinity of God was Father, Son, and the Holy Scripture. Instead of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, I knew the term of Holy Spirit and Holy Ghost. I read about the Holy Spirit in the Bible and the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, but I did not receive the Holy Spirit as a person God that can be so real to me, like I received Jesus and Heavenly Father and the Word of God. Only later part of my Christian walk, after I read what Jesus said in Luke chapter 11, verse 5 to 11. All those who hunger and thirst, who seek and go on asking, your Heavenly Father will surely give you the Holy Spirit. And in John chapter 16, verse 7 to 8, Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment." John chapter 16, verse 12 to 13, Jesus said, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, but he will take what is mine and declare it to you." I then realized how important it is to know the Holy Spirit as a person of God to be with me. So I was driven to speak and to ask until I knew the person. Only then I discovered what it means of being filled with the Spirit. You see, a real Christian experience must be Trinitarian, not just to know God the Father, but also to know God the Son, Jesus Christ, and to know God the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus sent. When I use the word know them, it means intimate fellowship in knowledge and in love with three of them. I don't agree with a fellowship that is unedified, but I would love to see more of the liberty and the power and the grace and the gift and the fruit of the Holy Spirit will be with all of us. The main theme of Joel prophecy is the day of the Lord which is coming. Joel uses the imagery of the swarm as the army of God attack the livelihood of people on the land to resemble the day of the Lord. These are some of the pictures can give you idea how horrendous when the land being attacked by army of locusts. These little things that came on the labor on the land of Israel, they are just about 2.5 inches long. Little insects that carry no disease and don't attack men. They are vegetarian. They don't even eat other animals. They seem so harmless on their own. However, when 100,000 million of those descend, the size of 20,000 million locusts can eat up 80,000 tons of green vegetation in one day, which would be enough to feed hundreds of thousands of people for a year. During Joel's time, he saw either in the vision given by God or in the reality of locust plague in the land, green field turned to desert, tree turned to white rock. White skeleton. The wild animal and the domestic animal crying out for food and drink because the moisture goes in the vegetation. Joel saw the people hungry for food and their children crying for meal. He also saw the worship of the house of God stop because there was no offering to give to God and his altar, all the life of people was coming to a standstill. In Joel prophecy, it is exactly according to God's principle on blessing and curses. From the scripture, it is very important to know that prophecy from God must always according to the scripture. We can find God's principle on blessing and curses, especially spelled out in Deuteronomy chapter 28, where God commanded Moses speak to the people of Israel this morning. We don't have time to read the whole 3 chapters as much as I love to do so. I hope all of us will read these 3 chapters after the service and repeatedly reading it until the words stay in our heart. Can we do that? Joel warned the people of Israel, the day of the Lord coming to them will be terrible. He asked the people to come together to fast and pray and cry out to God. He did not specifically spell out what were the sins they committed against God. Joel did not condemn them to idolatry, wickedness, or duty of immorality. What was their sin then? The answer is their drunkenness. In Joel chapter 1, verse 5. It is similar to what Jesus said in Luke chapter 21, verse 31b and 34 to 36. Jesus said, when you see this thing taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Be careful. If you are, your hearts will be loaded down with wasteful living, drunkenness, and cares for this life, cares of this life. And the day of Son of Man return will close on you like a trap. It will happen suddenly. That day will come on every person who lives on the whole earth. Always keep watching. Pray that you will be able to escape all that is about to happen. Also pray that you will not be judged guilty when the Son of Man comes. Like Joel, Jesus worried not that we will live in immorality or wickedness, but we indulge in our comfort living. We spend so much time to care for the things of this life, and we live in a life that is wasteful instead of living a life that glorifies God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 25, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. Jesus is talking about those who still go to church, still singing their worship song, still go through all the religion teach, but they care more about their own needs and their own comfort rather than God. They separate their own life and Christian life. They want a plus God type of living, not godly living. Jesus did not say we cannot enjoy our life, but he said, be careful. If we are not, our heart may be filled with the things of this world and care too much of this life that God becomes secondary to us. What God commands us to do will be honored if I have time, basis. When we do that, the blessing of God will not be on us, but the curses of God will surely come to us. And may I say this, please know that the day of the Lord is coming, and all of us will surely stand before the Son of Man to be judged. I understand that all of us who live in the city are busy with work because of making a living. We are living in a very stressful time. Housing loan, cars, living expenses, children tuition fees. We are heavily with responsibility and burden of life. But may I ask all of us to place our trust in God. Trust that our Lord knows all our challenges. That is why he told us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 to 32. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and you, Heavenly Father, knows that you need them all. Not just need them a little bit, but need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. This doesn't mean that we don't have to work. But Jesus is trying to tell us that we do our part to make a living, but put God in the first priority. In all that we do, trust that our Father in heaven will bless us through our work when we put him first in our life. Let us look at the similar struggle with the disciple in John chapter 20. The disciple had seen Jesus resurrected and visited them in person. Jesus has given the disciple his command. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Jesus had given the disciple the Holy Spirit and his authority. However, in John chapter 21, the disciples together with Peter went fishing, back to their old self, fishing. John chapter 21, verse 3. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, we will go with you. They went out and got into the boat. Wait a minute here. Are you serious, Peter? Guys, Jesus has just died for your sin on the cross a few days ago. He resurrected by the Father to show that he is real deal just a few days ago. And he gave them the Holy Spirit and his authority. Then he commanded, as the Father sent me, I also sent you. But the disciple went back fishing. Let's see what happened next. John chapter 21. Verse 4 to 6. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciple did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it. And now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. Wow, brother and sister, isn't that just amazing? You learn from that? Would you still rather labor on your own strength or with the help from our God? Our God knows our need. That is why he told us, do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your Heavenly Father knows that you need them all. but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. In John chapter 21, our Lord also gently reminded the disciples, especially Peter. In John chapter 21, verse 15, saying, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than this? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lamb. Dear brother and sister, do you love Jesus more than the things in the world? Our Lord knows our need, my dear brother and sister. That is why from his first sermon, where we call it the Sermon of the Mount, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, he said to us, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. He desires us to love him and place him at the first place in our heart and in our life. And he knows we are worried about our making a living. And he assures us not to worry about those, but seek him first. Because he is the creator of all things. He is the provider of all things. And he is our Father who cares for us so dearly. He wants us to place our trust on him so that he can bless us and care for us. Have that crossed your mind? That when Jesus asked us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, because he wanted to bless us, he wanted to care for us, he wanted to show his love to us. If our earthly parents, who are not perfect, would want to have to love and care for their children, how much more is our Heavenly Father, who are perfect, wanting to bless us, care for us, and love us? Joel exalted the people of Israel to gather together, to repent, and turn back to God before the hands of God. Because it is terrible when the hand of God is upon them. Joel knew God's principle and how God is faithful to his promises and covenant. Therefore, he told the people to blow the trumpet in Zion, gather all the people to repent and turn back to God. Joel chapter 2 verse 12 says, yet even now, declare the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart and your garment. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast, and he relents over disaster. A true repentant is to rend our heart, not our garment. Return to God with all our heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning, because the desire to turn back to him. Brother and sister, we sometimes have overlooked or forgotten that when our life were eaten away by the locusts, it could have been coming from God. In the aspect of our finances, our joy, our peace, our health, our marriage, our family. I don't mean all of the problems are coming from God, or definitely come from God. But it can be, according to the Bible, Therefore, we need to have spiritual discernment to know what God is doing. However, what a person would usually do when crises arise is to solve the problem with our human strength. To try harder, to work harder, to take more supplements, seek counseling, exercise more, or seek help from professionals, or blame the problem to others, to situation, to faith, even to God. Brother and sister, this locus might be coming from God to wake us up, to guide us back to the right path. If this is coming from God, none of the earthly help will lift up God's hand until we turn back to Him in repentance. The same could have applied to a church. When a church becomes so deep, without life, without joy, cruising through religion routine week after week, no new revival, no power, no spiritual blessings, no sign of the word of the Holy Spirit. This might be the locus sent by God to wake up the church. However, church might try to resolve church issues with corporate management knowledge and skill, do more programs. If all that doesn't work, blame the leaders, the pastor, the program, or the situation. Don't get me wrong. I don't mean that corporate management knowledge and skill and program are bad. What I'm trying to say is that we might also want to exercise spiritual discernment. We can learn from the book of Joel to discern and understand God's principle and God's way. Because if it is from God, none of the knowledge and skill and hard work can help other than repentance and return back to Him. So don't deceive ourselves. Don't play games with God or taking God lightly. God does not fool around. So don't mock Him. We must always exercise spiritual discernment. Don't wait until His hand comes upon us and learn the hard way. We must always humbly come before God to examine ourselves as individuals and as a church. When God reveals to us our wrongdoing, we must soften our heart to admit, to accept, and sincerely repent and return back to Him. Don't wait until His hand comes upon us. Do not be like a fool that harden our heart, because we'll be kicking against the prick. We'll be opposing God. God disciplines us through hardship because He loves us. If we harden our heart, situation will only turn from bad to worse. Problem and suffering will not go away because this is His promises of curse to us. This is His blessing in disguise, wanting to wake us up and turn us back to Him. So, my plea to all of us today is to repent and return back to God. Don't wait until the hands of God press hard on us. Do not mock God. Do not take God lightly. Do not fool around with God. Many sin in us other might not know, but we ourselves don't know it. Therefore, repent God today. Before the hand of God's come, it is terrible and dreadful. Repentance is different from regret. We might regret of what we have done. We might feel sad about our sin. We might feel sorry for what we have done. But that is regret, not repent. God wants us to repent, not regret. Not just sorry for what we have done, but recognize our wrongdoing, which is not pleasing to Him, which is sins against Him, and it is not glorified Him. And make a commitment to God. We won't do it because we love. This must come inwardly from our heart, not just outwardly from our garment. So, fast and pray. Weep and mourn. Cry out to God until we have a breakthrough from Him. This morning, let us all take a quiet moment, come before God. Let our Lord Jesus reveal Himself to us, to show us how He wholeheartedly loves us, not holding back anything from us. He who is God became flesh to live and die for us, so that we will not perish, but have eternal life. So that we can be reconciled with Him. His Holy Spirit can live in us. Live in us eternally. Let Him examine our heart. Let Him reveal our sin to us. Let us confess and repent and turn back to Him wholeheartedly. Let us surrender and commit ourselves to love Him wholeheartedly. This morning, let's fully surrender our heart and allow Jesus to fill our heart completely. Let us wholeheartedly commit to God, and so that we can have complete freedom in Christ. This morning, as we recommit ourselves to God, all the darkness and bondages will leave us. The joy of God will restore back to us, and the living water of God will flow to our dry and wasted land, and we will have overflow of living water coming out of us. This morning is the day that God restored to us. The years that the lotus has eaten has returned back to Him. This morning also the day we restore our wholehearted worship to God. Dear Lord Jesus, send the Holy Spirit of God that is at this time, pour out the love of God to all of us. Remove all of our hindrances and bondages. Remove all the idol and love for the world in us. Remove all the stubbornness, harden of heart, and disobedience from us. Remove all the distraction from the world, our excessive care of this life, our overindulge of this world, and our wasteful living. O Lord, help all of us to return back to You before the great and terrible day of the Lord come to us, before Your mighty hand rests on us. Let us wholeheartedly surrender ourselves to love You. We do not want to wait until Your disciplining hand to come upon us. We do not want to wait till everything has been taken away from us. For all the calamity and suffering press to cause us to return back. Help us to do it now, Lord. Open our hearts and let us see. Open our ears and let us hear. Lead our heart back to you and love you with all that we are and all that we have. No more idols, no more distraction, no more bondage, no more turning away from you, but love you with all of our heart. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.